Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Vijay Vaitaswaran of The Economist magazine to help me through the tangle of energy and green innovation that is swimming all around us. We begin, however, with the hard news out of Europe. This is the Financial Times. Car makers and airlines warn EU's climate plan imperils innovation. Subhead, battle ahead for Brussels as it negotiates with member states to pass ambitious roadmap into law. Europe's most polluting businesses have accused the EU of jeopardizing investment and innovation after Brussels unveiled ambitious plans to halve the bloc's emissions by 2030 in an effort to curb global warming. Vijay, a very good evening to you. This reminds me that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. We're looking at some kind of high-level dispute in Europe breaking out because the EU is going forward with plans it's talked about for a long time, the emissions trading system. This points to the irony of transition at any point in industry over the last several hundred years. When there's something new, I'm thinking of the automobile, but before that, the railroad. When there's something new, there's a lot of money to resist it. You tell me that there's resistance everywhere, including fossil fuel. Good evening to you, Vijay.
Good evening, John. Good to be with you.
And the fossil fuel resistance, what does it look like, or what money is it now gaining to resist the push for pollution control or emissions control, and then what we really want to get to, which is sustainable transportation? What's happening now?
So, Don, you're quite right. European leadership has pushed ahead with new rules for expanding emission trading. And the devil's always in the details, but this is the most ambitious effort so far in the world to push ahead on regulating carbon and other greenhouse gas emissions. In particular, it will hit transportation sectors, whether they're automobiles or shipping or aviation, hard. A specific point that the auto industry there, remember, Germany is a powerhouse of automobile production, especially high-end expensive cars that burn a lot of gas, like Mercedes, BMW, and so on, that they want to ban de facto diesel and gasoline cars by 2035. That would, in effect, mandate electric cars or possibly hydrogen fuel cell cars, but something other than petroleum-based cars. That's quite soon within the planning cycle of companies, within a planning cycle of one cycle and a half maybe of cars. And that's sooner than the automakers want. They think it's quite draconian. And aviation, again, is another thing that's going to be hit directly in shipping. That's why the industry is pushing back. In reality, what happens is that the politicians who are quite responsive to green consumers, green voters, and the green parties, which sit in power in a number of European countries, they tend to overreach. And in reality, the way these are implemented in the national legislation and in business chambers negotiations, it gets watered down. So what we're probably going to see is this very hyper-green ambition be watered down in various ways, with exemptions given or deadlines extended for the industries that complain the most, where most jobs would be at risk. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. But even a watered-down version of this will be far beyond what, for example, President Biden is proposing in his wish list for America.
Yes, I note that there's politics everywhere, including the Congress proposing punishing or in some way taxing, tariffing, extracting imports from polluting countries. So everybody's got different ideas how to put this together. However, you tell me there's irony here that fossil fuel is doing very well. Thank you very much. What kind of boom, Vijay, coming out of the pandemic?
So here's the irony. During the pandemic, and of course, you have to remember the pandemic is still ongoing, for most countries, especially poor countries, which have not been vaccinated to a great extent, this will be an ongoing scourge for a couple of more years yet. But for the rich parts of the world that are coming out of the worst part of the pandemic at the moment, we're seeing economic recovery. And the decline in greenhouse gases, in emissions and energy use that came with the decline in activity is predictably rebounding. But the way that it's rebounding is not a green energy fueled recovery. What we're seeing is a huge surge in the use of coal, for example, in China, in India, where you'd expect there to be a lot of coal use. But you're seeing America booming in its use of coal, and coal is being exported from the U.S. to other markets. We're seeing oil, for example, Americans, you know, we've been driving a lot. We just had the 4th of July. Driving season is off to a great start in America. And so we're consuming a lot, but we're also producing a lot of oil, even on federal lands and on federal offshore areas, which is something that, again, the very green-minded President Biden had wanted to curb some of the use of federal lands for oil production. Well, it ain't happening. On his watch, we're undergoing an oil boom.
I mentioned that history shows that this happens when there's a transition. People want to keep a foot in all possible camps. We only have 2 feet, but and I don't know how many camps there are. So let's say they're dancing from camp to camp. You wrote a prescient book many years ago, Power to the People. Is this something we can anticipate when we have a goal that is not immediately practical or commonsensical? Perhaps it's too expensive. Perhaps we need some technology developments, as with the lithium-ion battery, which we'll mention. Is this something that we've seen before in the transition? There looks like a fallback, a back to the future.
Absolutely, John. You're quite right to look to history. You know, we've seen energy transitions over time, right? In the we go back far enough, millennia or more, from burning wood and charcoal to the coal age, from coal towards what's been known as the oil age, and now maybe what comes after oil, the post-petroleum age, which will probably use electricity and to some degree hydrogen as the energy carriers and rely an awful lot on carbon-free fuels like renewables. That's the aspiration. These transitions take a long time, decades, and that's because energy systems have trillions of dollars of fixed assets. They have powerful incumbent companies who fight the change. And it's often expensive or complicated or fiddly to move to the new thing. That is, refilling your gas at an Exxon or Chevron station takes a couple of minutes. It's fairly cheap, and it gets your car going 300-400 miles on a single recharge, as it were. It's not that easy with electric cars or the alternatives yet, and that infrastructure has to be built out. So there's a chicken and egg problem with some of the new things. And I think that's why we see often fits and starts, 2 steps forward, 3 steps back sometimes with energy transitions. The most important lesson is that if you have a clear signal from government through policy, regulation, which direction markets need to go, markets will innovate and find a way to get there. And that's what we're kind of getting towards, with the European governments coming together and saying very clearly, this is where we want to go by 2050. Here are some of the rules of the road. Emitting greenhouse gases will no longer be free. In fact, it'll have a significant cost. And the people that would suffer the most are complaining, but they will transition. And among the leaders in electric cars, for example, is going to be Volkswagen. The German giant automobile maker is double down and wants to be the number one electric car maker already. They might just want a little more time to get there.
I mentioned, Vijay, that you've participated most recently in the making of a most helpful podcast that you can find through the Economist website. And when we come back, we'll discuss what I discovered, but your mention about resistance. Isn't it deeply, deeply dear that it was Exxon that provided the lab space to the geniuses who developed the lithium-ion battery that is now the future? And perhaps the retiring of Exxon's authority in the 21st century. It was developed in an Exxon lab. The men who did it, or some of the men who did it, won the Nobel Prize in 2019. And that's the way forward. Has that happened before, that people who have the money create the conditions that are going to make them antique?
Well, I would put it this way, John, that the brightest engineers and systems thinkers in energy are in the fossil fuel industry historically. That's the richest, best endowed, historically most prestigious and technologically sophisticated part of the energy industry. So it would be no surprise it would have the money to have the best research labs, to have when 3D computing came along, to look for seismic drilling, multilateral drilling. They had, I mean, I visited these labs of Exxon and their competitors. They're phenomenal. They're state of the art 20, 30 years ago. And before that, at the era that you talk about with lithium ion, not just the batteries, Exxon played a key role, scientists from Exxon, in advancing solar panels as well in the early days. But of course, neither of those technologies was brought to market by Exxon because the commercial men that ran Exxon decided that would not be good for our business. They even dabbled in the nuclear business for a while and said, that doesn't sound like it's going to be good for us. We're going to get out of that. And so in this way, there's a long tradition of companies that decide that new technologies that might be too disruptive to their core business should be quietly forgotten or quashed. And there is something to that as well.
Vijay Vachaswaran, he's the author of Power to the People, How the Coming Energy Revolution Transform an Industry, Change Our Lives, and Maybe Even Save the Planet. The future is now. When we come back, Vijay meets Elon Musk. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.